despite all of the calamity that we have experienced in the vicinity around us, we find ourselves assembled here today in the quiet solitude of God's people, in our purpose being to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I believe at some time in your life, if you haven't already done so, you'll begin to ponder the age-old question, what is life? Everybody does it. Everybody thinks about what is life. As Peter quotes from Psalm 34 in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, we find guidelines that are useful in facing the advance of years. Notice with me what Peter says, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it." Notice how this includes the idea of loving life. You know, many people today claim to love life, but they live in dread of growing old. What does it mean to love life? Well, we might sum up what it takes to love life in the terms of being obedient to Christ and growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as Peter said in 2 Peter 3:18. Or one might simply call it growing old gracefully. Most often, whenever we entertain 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, we'll notice and refer to the characteristic that Peter lists here as graces. I want you to turn to 2 Peter with me, and I want you to follow along as we read verses 5 through 8. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says these things are to be in us and to abound. In our lesson this morning, we're going to look at 9 phases of life, beginning with infancy and going on down to the point of death. Along the way, we're going to look at some of these graces that we've read here this morning, or characteristics that should be most evident in the time of life that we are considering. And of course, all of these should be in all of us, but certain ones are needed more at certain stages of life. First of all, we have infancy. This is a time of innocence and a time of purity. In Matthew 18 and verse 4, Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." What characteristic of children was he pointing out? Well, he was pointing out humility. And he said, if you humble yourself as a little child, you'll be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In Mark 10 and verse 14, when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased at them. And he said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." Again, what characteristic is Jesus noting in a child? Well, the characteristic is humility, or innocence. And he said, of such is the kingdom of God. Jesus recognized this innocent state as something that we should all work to be like in order to be pleasing in his sight. But as children grow, they tend to do that. Before you know it, you wake up one morning and they're in their teens. And they are maturing physically, they're maturing mentally as well. At this time, though, there is one characteristic that needs to be predominant, and that characteristic is obedience. Obedience is of the greatest importance. Notice the admonition in Ephesians chapter 6 at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Why should a child obey their parents? Because it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Now, obviously, there are things implied in this that we could consider if we had enough time this morning. But suffice it to say that teens need to learn to obey their parents. Why? Because if they don't learn to obey their parents, they won't obey the law. They won't obey peace officers. They won't obey their teachers. I was just, somewhat shaken whenever I listened to the interview of students in the school where a teacher had physically struck a student and did it on video. Do you know what I heard? I heard kids that were in the classroom saying, well, I don't blame him for doing it. The kid was being disrespectful. And he used derogatory language and prejudicial language towards him. And then one student that they interviewed said, the kids in this school just don't respect teachers. Do you know why? Because they didn't learn respect from their parents at home. That's why. It's vitally important that children be instilled with the concept of obedience in the home. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, the wise man of old said, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. We need to listen to that. This is a time when it's important, by the way, to add virtue. Virtue is moral courage. Moral courage. Because such courage is needful to stand against the pressures of the teenage years. But before we know it, the clock turns a couple of more times and we're in our 20s. And this is a time that should be noted by teachableness. We need to be teachable. In Paul's letter to Timothy, the second letter he wrote in chapter 2 and verse 15, he told him, now the King James says study here, but the New King James says be diligent. Be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is a time when it is important for us to increase in our knowledge. Important to increase in knowledge. Why? Because we are in the process of building a firm foundation for the future. And in time, we find ourselves in a position when we can fulfill the words of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3:15. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. This period corresponds with knowledge that's listed over in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. We need to be ready to give an answer, to make a defense for what we believe. And this goes back, I know this goes a little bit back into making faith your own. It's sounding like all my sermons are kind of threaded together here, but I've got news for you. I got them out of the same book. Okay. Then comes inevitably the 30s. It's a time when we need to find ourselves tireless in His service. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 58, and this should be significant to us during this time, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We can be assured that even when it's hard, when it seems like everyone's against us, that if we are working in the Lord, that our labor is not in vain. Our labor is not in vain. And we know where our strength comes from. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1, Paul told Timothy, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's where our strength is found. And in all this effort, all of this tireless service, this is a time when temperance is extremely important to us. But you know, the 30s don't last too long. I don't know. It seems like I was in the 30s a long time. Maybe it's because of what I was putting up with then. But next thing you know, you're in your 40s. And this becomes a time when our tireless efforts have prepared us to fight the good fight of faith. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the writer admonishes us, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, this is a time that we need to bear down. We have got a battle to fight. And it's every day, every day. We understand that this is going to be a time when patience is absolutely necessary. And let me say also, this is a time period whenever men and women need to be thinking in terms of how they're going to serve the Lord more faithfully. Now you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, this is a time when men start entertaining the possibility of serving as elders and deacons. This is a time that they've qualified or disqualified themselves to serve in that capacity. And of course, this includes their wives as well. Their wives are involved in this just as surely as they are. But we understand that we are talking about spiritual battle here. We're not talking about a physical warfare that goes on. We're talking about a spiritual battle. We're talking about a battle where our weapons are not of this world. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Well, if they're not carnal, what are they? Well, they're mighty in God. That's what they are. And what can you do with them? For pulling down strongholds. But you know, you go to sleep one day, you wake up, and suddenly you're in your 50s before you know it. You know, the time starts accelerating when you get older. It goes faster and faster, it seems. But you're in your 50s. But your 50s is a time for fervence. Fervence in your work for the Lord. Turn over to Romans 12 and verse 11 with me, if you will, please. Notice what Paul says. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That is a strong admonition that is suitable for this age group. Now, I'm not saying it's not applicable to all of us, because it is in one sense or another. But it's suited especially for this age group. Not lagging in diligence. Whenever you get in your 50s, you have a little bit of slowing down. You know, you think, well, I can't go like I did when I went in my 20s or 30s. But don't let it down. Don't be weary in well-doing. That was a theme that Brother Tope used in one of his lessons this week. Don't be weary in well-doing. You have to persist. And then also in 1 Peter 1:22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. Now notice this. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Not only fervent in serving the Lord, but fervent in our love for one another. You know, that word fervent's interesting. In this context, Paul talks about the earth being burned up with fervent heat. Now you can imagine, think about that for a minute. And that's the same word that he used here. The same word. He's talking about white hot love for one another. If you want to put it that way. Fervent love for one another. This will cause us to realize the importance of godliness in our lives. We'll see how it fits in. You know, it's almost an epiphany. In your 50s, you begin to realize, look how this fits. It all seems to fit together. Because, you know, all the other times, you're just kind of making it from day to day and getting along. But now you start to see it's fitting together. It's fitting together. And very often, we find a man being appointed to the eldership or a deaconship, if you will, as a servant of God. But you don't want to blink. Don't blink. Because pretty soon you're going to hit your 60s. Now, whenever you get to your 60s, you know, people say, well, that's the time I'm going to retire. I'm going to retire and just take it easy. Well, the 60s actually are a time for steadfastness. They are a time to be spiritually steadfast. And that should be foremost in our thoughts. In Galatians 5, put that up there for you. Galatians 5:22 and 23. Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Now notice what the fruit of the Spirit is. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And Paul puts at the end of that, there's no law against that. There's no law against that. This is something we should keenly realize whenever we reach this age. But one aspect of the fruit of the Spirit that we realize here is love. And do you know what? Love is connected with brotherly kindness. Back over to those graces we talked about. Love and brotherly kindness. You can't separate the two of them. They both tie together. And that is when they become extremely important to us. But if God should bless us with good health, and we should be permitted to do so, we come to the days of our 70s. 70s is a time for steadfastness. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be strong. What's Paul calling for here? He's calling for strength of courage or stamina. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Paul said, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. You get in the 70s, you start having all the creaking and bones. You know, I found out that the problem, David was real good to explain this to me. The problem that all of us elderly folks are experiencing is because our parents fed us Rice Krispies. And if we didn't eat Rice Krispies when we were young, we wouldn't be experiencing the snap, crack, and pop today. You can write that down. That's good information. But it comes with a territory, and we know it does. We know it does. The 70s are a time whenever we have a lot of aches and pains, but we need to have courage. We need to have stamina. We dare not allow ourselves to let down. You know, the retirement plan that the Lord has, it doesn't end at 65. Or start at 65, I mean. Nor does it start at 75. It starts at death. And so we have to work right up till then in order to enjoy all the benefits of it. In due time, we will have a reward from Him if we remain faithful in His service. And this, of course, we must show a true manifestation of love for the Lord. But if we should be exceptionally blessed, as so many are these days, and many of you sitting here, in fact, we may move on into the 80s. The 80s is a time that we are known and admired for being faithful in all things to the Lord. While our eyes are dimmed by age, we no longer see the things that this world sees clearly. But what we begin to see is a clear image of that distant land which God has prepared for the faithful. And we have assurance from Jesus himself that we'll be able to enjoy it someday. He told one of the seven churches of Asia in Revelation 2 and 10, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." And you know, that's where it ends. Whenever we finally are faithful unto death, we have all these graces that we've been reading about in 2 Peter chapter 1 abounding in us, and we must come to the time of our death. A time that may seem so very far off from us in youth. You know, it's hard to talk to a young person about death, because to them, it's way off in the future somewhere. That is, until one of their friends tragically dies. Then it comes close to home. But as we go on into the middle years, we still have a problem with death. That's something considered way over here. I got things to do today. But, you know, when we get to middle age, within our grasp of our feeble hands are the twilight years. We just don't realize it. We don't realize it. But dear ones, we are assured in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 that it is appointed unto man to die once. You're not going to get two chances or three chances and go through the recycle process of reincarnation. There's no such thing. It is appointed for man to die once. And after this, the judgment. We notice the confidence with which Paul faced this time in his life. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Notice he said, "I have fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith." Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to say that? To confidently know that you had done all the things that God commanded. And then he says, "Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Why could Paul say that? What gave him such confidence? Well, he knew about what his brother in the faith, Peter, wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, when he wrote about an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. He knew that. He knew it. An incorruptible inheritance was waiting for him. How did he have such assurance, though? Well, in Galatians 3 and verse 27, he said, "As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." He was in Christ. There's no such reward promised to any who are not in Christ. Now, dear friend, what about you? Are you growing old gracefully? Or are you just getting old? Think about it. Think about it. What it comes down to is this: the choice is up to you. The choice is up to you. We hope that you will aspire to grow old gracefully. that at each point in your life you will recognize God's Word as your guide. You will turn to Him for the things that you need in this life and be directed by His commands.